Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local religious leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. In the spirit of Thomas Jefferson, who said, "The clash of ideas is the sound of freedom," we will seriously wrestle with important ideas, even at the risk of disagreeing with one another. The hope is that through our wrestling, we will come to a greater understanding and appreciation of each other, and more importantly, we hope that you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. In weeks past, you've heard us talk about the purpose and role of this show and that we hope it to have. We've talked about the importance of morality and as an issue in the election. We've talked about the role pastors should play in politics. We've talked about the death of Yasser Arafat. We've talked about Muslim-Jewish relations, and we've talked about tolerance. That's what we talked about last week, in fact, and that's what we're going to pick up again this week, the issue of tolerance. Are we intolerant? Should we be more tolerant? And are there certain things about which we should never be tolerant? And here, joining us again on our panel this week, back from last week, Jonathan Schweitzer, the pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel, and Khalil El Shazli, the president of the Islamic Society of Frederick. Thank you for being with us again. Last time on the show, we talked an awful lot about the intolerance issue as it relates to homosexuality, because that has been at the forefront of the news for I don't know,
yeah,
particularly recently, but certainly it's over really the last year, it's been a huge issue. Yeah. But it's not just homosexuality.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit before the show.
And in fact, you know, I would even say that in a half-hour show, even last week, I don't know that we necessarily did the homosexual issue justice. We certainly spoke forthrightly about it, but you know, all these issues are complex. And anyways, in the intent of being forthright about things, I think it requires greater discussion and clarification. And we may not get the chance to go back to some of those issues. So maybe we will in the future, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I think that we
probably
will. They're
also complex, aren't they?
Well, I know from personal experience, I've been part of study and discussion groups where this issue has been talked about.
Yeah.
And for
mm-hmm.
2 or 3 hours an evening, 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Right.
You know, so after like
It's not enough time.
After 8 hours of wrestling with it, we just mm-hmm. say, okay, well, we're going to have to put that aside, move on to something else. You could talk about it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But the question we were talking about before the show started and that I wanted to bring up in the show on the air now is when did the tolerance issue begin to morph? You know, when the argument was about accepting people of a different race or a different ethnicity and being intolerant of those in that way is wrong. I think everybody would agree it's wrong to be intolerant of somebody because of their skin color.
Hmm. Absolutely.
And women being intolerant in their role in society and being more tolerant and being more inclusive, allowing them to be a part of it or whatever. And I personally would say that that's proper, although maybe there's a line to define the roles there. Maybe we can talk about that. Who knows?
Sure.
But then it went from things that you're born black or you're born white or you're born Asian, right, but you're not necessarily born homosexual, which is the argument that the three of us, I think, would all make. Those who disagree would say otherwise. But that, it seems to me, is clearly a moral issue.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think that the Bible says anywhere that it's a sin to be black. And I don't think you could even begin to try to make a case that the Bible says that it's a sin to be black. But the Bible does seem to me to say clearly,
absolutely,
to me clearly, and certainly you could at least try to make the argument from Scripture that the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong and it is a moral issue, a moral choice. So is homosexuality where it began, or where do we lose our way on everything becomes okay and everything is relative? Where did that come from?
Well, I think it happened clearly. Wow, I'm going to go way back. I think it happened back in France. All right, funny thing.
Let's blame the French for everything.
Blame the French for everything. Around the time of the French Revolution, France threw out the idea that there was any absolute when it came to morality in the French Revolution. And they embraced for the last 200 years, for the first time as a society, they would even say it proudly, a godless approach to life. There is no God. God doesn't decide what's right and wrong. We decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. And humanism has, atheism has marched across Europe and Great Britain and here into the United States. And as a worldview, as a system, and I would love rather to, again, have somebody here on the show that would be an atheist that would, you know, go head to head with us on this. But I think this is a major worldview difference that applies to everyday life. A humanist and an atheist cannot believe that there's absolute right and wrong. They have no basis for deciding that. We evolved from apes, and there is no right and wrong except the golden rules. He who has the gold makes the rules. And I don't agree with that. I think that it doesn't matter who's got the gold. God made the rules, and we need to submit to his rules. Anyways, my point is that if you introduce that kind of a worldview into the discussion, then in order for the atheist to encourage a God-fearing person to embrace and be open to immoral worldviews, they've got to include in their definition of tolerance a tolerance for drunk people, a tolerance for drug addicts, a tolerance for adultery and homosexuality and all these things. In fact, this is part of the reason why they're so opposed to putting somebody like Scott Peterson to death, because that would have a worldview that there's an absolute right and wrong. And, you know, maybe Scott Peterson just needs somebody to be a little bit nicer to him in life, and, you know, he wouldn't be so bad. And so anyways, I think that that's where the discussion went, changed from accepting one another. Because if God created all of us, black, red and yellow, black and white, you know, the great Christian hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Well, that's clearly a biblical idea. But as soon as you say, you know, homosexual, adulterer, you know, they're all precious in the sight. Well, yes, I agree they're precious in the sight, but a religious perspective, a God-fearing perspective, is going to draw the line and say, well, look, we don't have to accept those things, and I don't want to use the word fight, but we should give all of our efforts to helping people to not be those ways. So anyways, I think that that's where the tolerance issue turned from just being from a different racial background to being a moral ambivalence that is out there.
You have something to add, Khalil?
Yeah. Being a Muslim, you are colorblind. Your color, race, ethnic, you're blind.
As we should be, yes.
As we all should be.
Yes.
There's no difference between you and me. If I'm black, if you're white, I'm black, if you Chinese, if you Native
Big,
Indians,
ugly.
Whatever, it doesn't matter if you're tall, short, skinny or not skinny. There's no difference. We're all equal in the eyes of God.
Yes.
What differentiates us is how pious you are, how much you're serving God, how good you are to your neighbor. We're different? Yes, we're different. And how do you tolerate people? Our biggest teacher is the story of Prophet Abraham. Some of us know, or we all should know, that Prophet Abraham never liked to eat alone. And he would walk for miles to find somebody to eat with. And there's a story that Prophet Abraham one time walked for about a mile, found someone, asked him to eat with him and start cooking, blah, blah, blah. And then as he was talking to that person, he found out that this person is a pagan. Who does not believe in God, who takes partners with God.
Yeah.
And Prophet Abraham says, like, oh, no, 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 you can't eat with me.
Okay.
Then God sent the angel Gabriel telling Prophet Abraham, who created this person?
Yeah.
Not you.
Huh.
I'm the Lord. I'm the one who created this person.
Yeah.
This person, even though I created, for 40 years never worshipped me, but for 40 years I always fed him. So Prophet Abraham ran after that individual and told him, please come back and eat with me. He said, wait a minute. You just told me I can't eat with you because I don't believe in God. So no. God just sent me, you know, a messenger said,
that's pretty
I have to
dramatic.
Eat with you. So, you know, even though here's a person who doesn't believe in God, well, it's not my problem. It's his problem between him and God. And based on that, even though this is a person that fundamentally you disagree with, that's the fundamental of your religion, is believing in one God.
Yeah.
Here's a person who does not believe in God at all.
Yeah.
And yet God telling Prophet Abraham, okay, sit down and eat with him.
See, this is the problem, Troy.
Well, there's tolerance, a story similar, though, to that in the New Testament with Jesus.
Yes, there's a bunch of them.
With eating with the sinners and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of argument and kind of scripture reference that people would use against your argument, John. That,
good. And this is where I was going to go with it, because this is the point. Nowhere in scripture are we taught to hate people. We're taught to hate sin. We're told to love people every step of the way.
Or discriminate against them based on who they are.
And in fact, what Scripture says is those people that are my enemies, I'm to give them food and something to drink. And according to Scripture, that's the worst thing I could do to them because I take the steam out of their engine and out of their hatred. You know, King David, when he was king, God said that he would make all his enemies to live at peace with him on every side. The point is that a true tolerance does not ignore differences about morality, but provides an environment where we can hash out what we think is moral and not moral. And the way that tolerance has turned in our society now is to say, let's just accept any and everybody. And this is a fact. The Church of Jesus Christ in Germany at the time of Hitler had embraced a tolerance mentality that it was no longer willing to accept absolute right and wrong. And so when Hitler came along, almost, not all of them, there were a bunch that did not, thank God, but almost all of them signed on, all the Christians, to say, you know what, we support Hitler. And this is my concern. If tolerance turns into an inability to identify what is right and wrong, then we end up allowing tyrants into power in our nation. How could they do that in Germany? We ask ourselves. And yet my sense is that here in our nation, if we are unwilling to debate morality, you know, that it's wrong to kill all the Jews just outright. It's wrong to outlaw all Islams. It's wrong to treat a certain group of people heinously just because of their race. As soon as we buy into a tolerance mentality that cannot differentiate between good and evil, then we have walked down the road of what I would call spiritual, what's the disease where you can't feel the end of your fingers anymore? What disease is that?
I can't feel the end of your...
You lose feeling. It's a leprosy, spiritual leprosy.
Oh, okay.
A spiritual leper is a person that can no longer feel or discern right and wrong. And I believe that's what Hitler's, what Germany was like. And it was a tolerance mentality that had gone out of control. And I think that we need to be careful to not let that happen here in the United States.
I wasn't as quick on the uptake because I didn't realize that was one of the symptoms or
leprosy
of leprosy was that your fingers went numb. I didn't know that. So I've learned something today.
Yeah, the reason why your fingers fall off is because you can't feel your fingers hitting the wall and you keep hitting your sorry, this is kind of gross. Sorry for everybody out there. You keep hitting your toe or your nose and different things and you don't feel it.
That's why I hold the sponge in your hand.
You literally end up knocking parts of your body off because you can't feel them anymore. And that's what happened again, I believe, in Hitler's Germany. You
never know.
They lost their spiritual sensitivity. Yeah, there it is.
Ryder, you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. My name is Troy Skinner. The voice you just heard explaining leprosy in great detail was John Schweitzer, pastor.
Never had it. Not personal experience.
Crossway Valley Chapel. And Khalil El-Shazli, the president of the Islamic Society of Frederick. About 5 minutes ago, John, you were saying something about, where it all began. And it began maybe with humanism and all that stuff. But then you went even back further to atheism, which predates humanism.
It does.
And that talks about the divide in society, the divide in culture. There are theists, those who believe in God, some sort of higher power, right?
Yeah.
And there are those who don't believe in that, and they are the modern-day evolutionists or secularists or whatever, humanists, right?
Sure, okay? Sure.
But that's a extra-religious divide. Now what we have is a divide within the religious arena where there are those who would say they are theists. They believe in God. In fact, they would claim to believe in the same God that you and I believe in.
Yeah.
And yet they disagree on these issues of tolerance towards moral questions.
Yeah.
So where did that begin?
Okay. Clear in the same exact place. See, there was a whole group of people with the rise of the scientific worldview in the 1800s. There's a whole group of theologians in the Christian church that embraced a naturalistic worldview, All right. Basically, what that means is that it's not true unless I can use my five senses to sense it. If I can't see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, feel it, then it's not true. And so they turn their religion from being a transcendent religion that claims that God, who can't be seen, heard, felt, has spoken to mankind through divine revelation, and that we've written it down. They turn from a religion that embraced a transcendent God to a religion that's all about just good works and just caring for people. And as a result, what happened is there's whole seminaries that took the miracles out of Scripture. They denied that Jesus was really the Son of God. There's whole seminaries that rejected the idea that God has spoken anything through any prophet, and that instead what we merely have is a bunch of humans that tried to make God in their own image. And the reason why we have so many who claim to be Christians today that would also claim that we need to allow homosexuals or in positions of leadership or allow adulterers in positions of leadership and this kind of thing is because they turned their back on the revelation of Scripture and they chose to embrace instead a naturalistic, humanistic worldview. And so basically they've gutted Christianity and put instead in its place their humanism, their atheism, and cloaked it on the outside with their Christianity. And that's the reason why we have so many that are in the Christian church that embrace a worldview that doesn't believe in absolute right and wrong. And we have them. I mean, there's countless seminaries in our Harvard. I better not get myself in too much trouble by naming them here, but there's plenty of of seminaries out there that started out believing the Bible to be the inspired word of God that now no longer believe that to be the case. And as a result, they've gutted it and they've put in its place an atheism or a humanism that doesn't believe in absolutes.
You have anything that you would like to add to that, Khalil?
Yeah, the lessons we have in the stories that was revealed in the Quran is that once you give up on your morality, once you give up on the values that God commanded you to follow and the way of life that God wants you to live and the rules that he wants you to abide by, once you give up on those, this is usually the beginning of the end of that particular society.
In fact, that's what Christianity would teach as well. Very much so. I'm sorry to agree with you on that, Khalil, but Christianity would teach the same thing. It really does.
That
society
aren't you
falls
amazed
apart.
How much we have in common?
Yeah, no, actually, I'm not. But we'll get to that later.
Although,
I do believe that there are differences that are important.
There are differences, but there are a lot more similarities than differences.
There are quite a few. There's quite a few in the Islamic world that have claimed that the West is the great Satan, and the reason that they claim that is because we have lost our moral foundation, and we export to the world through movies, and through music, and through our culture, the way that we dress, which is increasingly sexualized, in the way that we interact, we've exported to the world an immoral worldview. And as a result of that, people that are living in Islamic nations are looking at us and they're saying, you know what? They're going to destroy our culture because everybody wants a television. Everybody wants to go see the movies. And you know what? The bottom line is I do believe that the West is guilty of exporting immorality to the world. And in fact, most people that are involved doing it would say, yeah, so what's the problem? We love it. It's good. The world needs more of that because it's militant. It's what I would call militant atheism, militant humanism.
And then some of them would also go on to say that they believe that they would describe themselves as Christians.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then that's where this intolerance thing is, because those who would have a more scripture-based view of what a Christian is would say, no. You're not one of us.
Right.
Absolutely. You don't speak for us. Yep. And it causes the line to get blurred, I think.
That's the thing.
I agree.
That's the leprosy.
John,
I'm
glad you mentioned this. You hit the nail right on the head. And
you're going to pass the ball to me Friday night when we play soccer.
You need to pass it more
because
often.
You like me.
And I think the biggest problem is,
yeah,
you mentioned it. You explained it as it's happening and as the people there yes. view it, unfortunately, the way the media portrays here is that they, you know, they say Muslims hate our way of life. They hate our freedom. They hate us because of who we are. To the contrary, what they hate is exactly what John was just mentioning.
Yeah, the sin.
Exactly. This is exactly the opposition to the westernization of the region.
Which is interesting because most in the media, mainstream media, would claim that Christians are the intolerant ones and the ones that are that are fomenting all the anger towards the Muslim worlds. When in fact, it's exactly the opposite. Christians are the ones that are most likely to encourage a way of living that a Muslim would totally embrace. You know, no sex outside of marriage. Don't lie. Be good. Take care of the poor. Take care of your family. Work hard. You know, all these things that are the guts of the Christian religion, the moral element of the Christian religion, every Muslim would embrace that.
Absolutely.
With whole heart and soul.
Isn't
that amazing?
We had a parallel a few years ago on the Islamic Society of Frederick's website.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not on the website anymore. We have a parallel between what the Quran teaches just alongside with the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And you could take the same commands right out of the Quran, one by one, word by word.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. No, I knew that was the case. Yeah.
It's just people just hate the politics of
There's so much love in the room right now.
It's not the religious aspect of it. It's just if people, they're opposing some of our administration's policies, it's policy that they're opposing.
Let's talk about Abu Ghraib in this context. Mm-hmm. The reason why Abu Ghraib was such a horror to the Islamic world is because we exported a pornographic mentality in attacking the dignity of the individual in ways that are immoral. You know, you would never cause people to walk around naked and to mock, you know, a woman, you know, making fun of them as they're naked and that kind of stuff. It's just immoral to do. And the reason why the Islamic world was so upset about it was because they know that is absolutely inappropriate. And most Christians do as well. And any Christian that was over there was equally horrified at what happened to Abu Ghraib. But the secular media just can't understand it. And they blame it, you know, they turn it into all these other things. And this is part of the reason why I think that George Bush and John Ashcroft and some of these guys that tend to be strong Christians are in fact the Islamic world's best friends. If the Islamic world could somehow separate out these solid Christians that are against immorality from the rest of the Western world, which is hard to do, and I don't blame them for having a hard time doing that.
I don't know about John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft went out on a record saying that Christianity is a religion where God sends his son for his blood to be shed for our sins, and Islam is the religion where the father sends the son to blow himself up for the sake of their own God. So I don't know about John Ashcroft being
which again is another whole discussion, we'll have to come back to again sometime.
Before we get off onto that track, which is a show, we have a tendency to end up talking about politics. If we talk long enough, politics will come up.
Yeah.
By the way, reminder, you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate, our panel
this
week.
Great Frederick Faith Debate.
That's right. With our panel today consists of Khalil El Shazli, president of the Islamic Society of Frederick, and Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner, and I'm acting as kind of the moderator and host, I guess, but one of my roles on this show is to kind of be the
very
wild
finely
hair.
Dressed okay? host, by the way.
So here's a wild hair I'm going to throw out there. In the last few minutes we have in the show, we have like about 2 or 3 minutes left to chat. All right, I'm going to play a word association game.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to throw at you like a half dozen words, and you tell me what comes to mind, okay?
Oh, great.
Jingle bells.
Christmas.
Frosty.
Christmas.
Rudolph.
Christmas.
Santa.
Christmas.
Heat miser and cold miser.
Christmas.
Sorry.
The point is, I didn't say anything at all about Jesus Christ.
Okay.
The waters have gotten muddied, and I'm wondering if that's part of why we're having some tolerance-intolerance dilemmas here is, again, it's a wild hair idea, I know.
Okay.
But Christmas is a Christian holiday about the birth and incarnation of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And yet, that is not what the focus of society is. It's on all these other things.
Yeah.
As things have been co-opted in.
Yeah.
And so now there's been a muddying of the waters. There's been a blurring of the line as to what's reality, what's not, what's secular, what's religion.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, everything's fair game. Is that a totally wild hair idea, or have we allowed ourselves to lose our way by drifting into secularism as a religious community?
Do you want to hit that first?
I'll hit that first.
And we've got like two minutes, or like 90 seconds, actually. So, but
we'll be thorough.
Very briefly, I wish the focus should be on who Jesus Christ is, what his teachings are, follow his way of life, more than commercializing the holiday, so to speak.
Huh.
I wish people focus more on how to live their lives like Jesus Christ lived his life.
Fascinating. Very interesting.
John, I'll give you 20 seconds.
Okay. Simply, I would say this, that to the extent that we're unwilling to let Christmas be what it originally was in our attempt to try to turn it, co-opt Christianity's kind of their strongest, biggest holiday and turn it into, you know, this moral morass, I think it's a symptom of what's going on. It's not the cause of immorality in the culture and a cause of a spiritual leprosy, but I think it's a symptom of that, and it's very dangerous. I do agree with that.
All right. Thank you very much. John Switzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel, Khalil El Shazli, the president of the Islamic Society of Frederick. If you're a local religious leader or know one who would like to participate in a future roundtable discussion, please contact me, Troy Skinner, at the offices of WFMD. My email address is troyskinner@clearchannel.com. Thanks again, and God bless.